Luke chapter 8, in this very joyful atmosphere we have in the house of the Lord, this is the house of the Father. Luke chapter 8, verse 40 to verse 56. This story is recorded in all the Gospels, and we are seeing this in Luke because Luke is a doctor, okay? So that helps us to get a doctor's perspective on the subject. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. And please keep your Bible open all the time, okay, church? The title of the sermon is Faith Journey, Faithful Journey. Okay? Faith Journey, Faithful Journey. Just before we read, Trisha, can we have the introduction slide for us, please? What I do want you to see, church, as we're going to start reading, we saw Jesus has the power over creation. Remember the Sea of Galilee? He tells the wind, stop. He tells the wave, stop, and the creation obeys him. He also has power over demons. Remember, there were two men in the graveyard. Jesus, from very far, commands the demons, get out. And the 6,000 of demons get out and obey Jesus. Then, last week, we saw about the hemorrhagic lady. She had the blood issue for 12 years. Jesus didn't need even to speak. Without even noticing, she comes and touches Jesus' cloak, and Jesus instantaneously heals her. And today we're going to see the resurrection of the daughter of Jairus. These four things combined, what Matthew, Mark, and Luke has in mind, Jesus is God. That's what they're trying to teach us, okay? He has all the power. Can I see if we have another slide? Why is the title Faith Journey, Faithful Journey? It's because in the Greek, the word faith, pistis, and the word faithful has the same root. Okay? And as we go, I believe we have another slide. Yes. As we go, this key word, journey, I want you to keep in mind that we are seeing this text like this. Jairus have pistis. He has faith. Pistis is Greek faith, okay? He has faith. And we're all called to have faith. Believe in Jesus, okay? And Jesus, he also has pistis, Greek. He's faithful. Okay, he's going to hold the faith of Jairus as he also holds our faith. That's what I want all of us to keep in mind here, okay? I think you can bring the first point and then I believe we can start the reading. The first point of this sermon is the journey request. Jairus going to request and Jesus is going to accept. Faith requests. And the faithful one, he is Jesus, he accepts the request. That's what we're going to read here in verse 40. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Just then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, let us have a word of prayer, church. Let us bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we come to your word in all. And we pray that we learn from Jairus. And Lord, may we leave this temple today refreshed because you are the faithful one. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church, Jairus is, it's simple. He has a daughter, 12 years old, that it's about to die. And Jairus, he comes to Jesus publicly, kneels before Jesus, and asks for a miracle. Okay? It's important to notice that Jairus is a Jewish man, and Jairus is a synagogue leader. No, he's not the pastor. No, he's not a rabbi, but he is the leader. He is the voice of the synagogue. He chooses the speakers. He makes the decisions for the synagogue. So a man in such a position, he is a man who models everybody. He's a man who, if he says, let's go to the north, some people will go to the north, and some critics are going to say, I don't agree, I want to go to the south. He is this kind of man. And with the influence he has, in the position he's at, and with the biblical knowledge that he has, he does something remarkable. He kneels before Jesus. Matthew is very precise. Matthew gives us the idea that he's worshiping Jesus. And what is going on here, church? From a biblical perspective, a Jewish person knows only God is due worship. You will have no other gods other than the Lord. You will bow down before no one except the Lord. Then Jairus comes and he what? He bows down before Jesus. What is Jairus teaching us? Jesus is God. Jesus is Christ the King. Jesus is the Messiah. Divinity dwells in Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. That's what he believes. And he does that not in secret. He does that publicly, and he does that despite his position. That's the faith of Jairus. And the faithful one who is Jesus, he does a simple thing. He just followed Jairus. Do you need healing? Your daughter needs my intervention. You have a request to me? I'll go. Do you remember the nice parable of the 99 sheep? And one sheep is stubborn, and one sheep go away. Do you remember that parable? What does the good shepherd do? Does. What does the good shepherd does? Do. Sorry. I was right. He leaves the 99. Right? Jesus doesn't bother with the multitude. He follows Jairus. You need healing. Your daughter needs healing. I'm coming. And church, here is the point that I do want us to always put ourselves in the sermon. Put yourself in Jairus' shoes, because that's how our journey starts. All of us, no matter if you are raised in the church, no matter if you were baptized when you were a kid, there is a moment and a point in your life that all of us, we realize there is sin, there is death, there is an issue. I can't solve it. The church can't solve it. The pastor can't solve it. Money, status can't solve it. Only Jesus can solve it. And we all go to Jesus and we say, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus saves me. Our journey of faith starts with that request. Romans chapter 10 says it all. If you believe in Jesus Christ with your heart and you confess him with your mouth, you will be saved. Because everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. And Jesus, when we request, and Jesus, when we ask for forgiveness, he forgives, he accepts the request, he takes us as sons, he takes us in, as daughter. So all of us, our journey starts here when we request salvation and the Lord Jesus faithfully, kindly, lovely, he accepts our request. He grants us forgiveness. He grants us salvation. That's the first point. And now we're going to see the second point. Now that Jairus started his journey with the Lord, there will be challenges, church. There will be challenges. The second point of this sermon is the journey, adversity, and assurance. Faith suffers adversity. You put your faith in Jesus, not everything is going to go well. There will be adversity. We are not in a Disneyland, okay? But good news, there is assurance. The faithful one gives assurance. Jesus is with us. Jesus protects us. Jesus cares for us. And that's what we're going to see in verse 49. Verse 49, we are jumping from verse 42 to verse 49 for obvious reasons. That was our last sermon from verse 43 to verse 48. Now verse 49. We're going to read until verse 50. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." Don't be afraid, just believe, she will be healed. Church, faith suffers adversity. It's very naive from all of us when we think that our plans will not suffer adversity. I'm going to go and buy a house, and the house is going to increase in value, and everything is going to be well. And then one night you're sleeping quietly, and the raccoon comes to the attic. And you are too afraid to take the raccoon out. You need to call the special service to take the raccoon out. And now you have a big bill to pay. Because you and your brother are super afraid to take the raccoon out of the attic. Church, the faithful journey, the faith, there is those adversities. Jesus said, "I'm coming to heal your daughter." But now there is a big adversity here in Jairus' faith, church. First of all, he's hit with bad news. Your daughter is dead. From one side, Jesus says, "I'm coming." On the other side, your daughter is dead. And I really want you to see this. The news hit him in a moment that his faith was thriving. Look at this. He just saw the hemorrhagic lady from verse 43 to verse 48. She got her healing. Do you remember our last sermon? She touched Jesus and Jesus heals her. Jairus, now it's filled with faith. I just saw the healing. Jesus is on the way. Healing is about to happen. And it's in that moment that he receives the bad news. No, actually, healing is not happening because your daughter is dead. That's shocking. But in another degree, things get even harder. Because church, He approached Jesus, knowing, believing Jesus is God, believing Jesus is the King, believing Jesus can heal. But now that request is gone. Now the request is changed. He cannot request for healing anymore. He needs to request for resurrection. Will his faith pivot? I believe you can heal, Jesus. I'm not sure you can resurrect. I believe you can do something, Jesus, if it's now. I'm not sure you can do something, Jesus, if it's later. His faith now is very challenged. And it's probable that his faith would faint. That's why Jesus intervenes. Verse 50, hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid. See how Jesus is faithful, church. See how Jesus holds our faith. And he just, help me to say this well. He doesn't stop on just holding our faith. Jesus actually does something better for us. He makes our faith to elevate. Jairus, you approached me thinking, believing that I can heal. And that's correct. But I want to take your faith to the next steps, to the next level. I will show you, Jairus, that I'm able to resurrect. That which you did not request, I will do. That which surpasses your understanding, Jairus, I will accomplish. And after all, you're going to be stronger. That's what the faithful one does to Jairus. And that's what he does to us as well. As we begun this journey thinking that Jesus can save us, believing that he can forgive us, and we start in this journey thinking that everything is going to go well, no adversity, no pain, no backslashes. It's in those moments, church, that Jesus shows us, that Jesus increases our faith, that Jesus, wait, we requested for a thing 5 years ago. He waits, and he answers it 10 years later, a different answer. But at the end, overall, it makes us stronger. Jesus, I could not believe you would answer my prayer. Jesus, I had even forgotten about my prayer. But yes, Jesus, you indeed answered it. And you indeed did it better than I could ever think of. That's the way Jesus does to our lives, church. He brings Jairus. He takes all of us to a deeper level with him. Journey has adversity, but Jesus gives us assurance. And with that in mind, let us not see just the adversity. Let us see probably the most beautiful word, one of the most beautiful words we have in the vocabulary, church. The next third point. Faith journey, vulnerability. Repeat with me, vulnerability. Faith faces vulnerability. The faithful one protects Jairus' faith. We're gonna dig about that a little bit after we read. Let us read verse 51. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She's not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. We stop here in verse 53. Really think about this. They laughed at him. Okay? Church, vulnerability, this word, if you take it out of the Christian context, it's a hard word. Nobody wants to be vulnerable. You will help me because I'm not good with English sayings. Correct me if I'm wrong. Nobody washes dirty laundry. You don't air your dirty laundry. That's right. You don't air your dirty laundry to others. You clean the problems inside the house. Nobody wants to show vulnerability. Put the suit. Cover the wound. Don't let anybody know you're vulnerable. And Jairus walks into this room. And the news that his daughter is dead now hits him harder. He sees his daughter dead. Everybody's crying. And Jesus says, "She's not dead, she's sleeping." Jairus is confused. The people laughed at Jesus. Jairus is vulnerable. People are laughing at my situation. Everybody's in my house. We are not talking about somebody else's daughter. This is about my daughter. This is about my pain. And it's in that moment that Jesus protects. Jesus takes away, we're going to see that in the next verse. Jesus takes away all the people who are laughing at Jairus and at him. Jesus takes away the people who brought the bad news. Don't bother the teacher. The teacher can't do anything. Just give up. He takes all of those people out of the house. He leaves only his disciples, Peter, John, and James, and the parents in the house. And Jesus changes the environment. The environment that was laughing and tears now becomes hope, prayer, and mercy. They are united together. They are expecting for the miracle. That's the way Jesus protects the faith of Jairus. And with that being said, church, I really want to tell you this is the picture of the church. The world laughs at us. The world laughs at Jesus. But here, we know who Jesus is. Here, we comfort one another. Here, the words of Jesus are not distorted, are not used as a weapon against himself, are not taken lightly. Here, Jesus' words are taken as true. If he's saying that the girl is going to raise from the dead, we believe. This is the picture of the church. We encourage one another as Jesus being our head. So church, never take for granted that we are here on a Sunday morning. Never take for granted an opportunity to come for a barbecue. Never take for granted an opportunity to come for prayer. This is our healthy space. This is the place where we are all protected. That's what Jesus does. And Jesus performs the miracle. The conclusion of all of this. Do we have a slide for conclusion? I believe we do. The conclusion of all of this, Luke chapter 8, verse 44 to verse 46. Verse 44 says this, "But he took her by the hand and said, 'My child, get up.' Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened." And we finish here. Church, Jesus heals the girl. Jesus raises the girl from the dead. Jesus performs the miracle. Again, it's very important that you see Jairus asked in the beginning for healing. That's not what he got. He got resurrection, something he has never asked for, something he could never thought of, something that made him to see Jesus in a deeper and greater level than ever before. His faith was strengthened. And I do want to point out to you how Jesus loves family. We talked about the church being our family. Look at what Jesus does as soon as he raises the girl from the dead, as soon as he performs the miracles. He doesn't put it on the internet. He doesn't put it on the newspaper. He keeps everything quiet. All you guys are going to do now is enjoy your family time. Just eat together. Just enjoy the company of one another. And why am I emphasizing this to you, church? Because we can relate with that with our church. The church is our family. The miracles that Jesus performs here are supposed to be celebrated by one another. Our gatherings are supposed to be celebrated by all of us, cherished by all of us. But why am I emphasizing this? Last week, the hemorrhagic lady, Jesus restores her to society and eventually to her own family. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the gathering men, the men who were facing the demon possession, the men who were outcast out of society, homeless. Nobody wanted to talk to them. Their family gave up on them. Jesus healed them. And what does Jesus do? He sends them back home. You remember the two men asked, "Jesus, we want to follow you. Jesus, we want to go internationally. Jesus, we want to go to the other side." He says, "No. Stick with your family. Go back to your family. Preach the gospel to your family." Here again, for the third time, Jesus performs the miracles and inserts people back to the family. That's how important this is. Especially in a day and age, church, when society wants to diminish family, when society wants to come with gender ideology, when society thinks divorce is the norm. This is a good time for us to remember that family is God's project. That God loves the church, yes, he does, but God also has instituted family. Father, mother, children, grandchildren, great children. That's beautiful. That's God's project. And God really wants us to cherish that and to bless our own families. That's in his heart. But the final, the icing of the cake of all of this, church, it is death is defeated. Because, church, remember, we are putting ourselves in Jairus' shoes. We started this journey with a request. We need a Savior. We are dealing with sin. We need forgiveness. And Jesus forgives, Jesus saves, and Jesus comes along us, along the way. Jesus journeys with us. And what is the destination? The resurrection. Death, it's not the end. Death is just the beginning for the Christian. We're going to be with the Lord forever. The graveyard is not our last address. Heaven is our eternal address. And that's what this journey is all about. And the emphasis I want to give you here, church, we saw this from Luke's perspective. We have Matthew, we have Mark, and we have Luke telling the same story to us. I really want you to see what Luke says about death, because it's remarkable. Verse 53. Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. I can guarantee you, church, Luke has no X-ray eyes. He didn't see the spirit leaving. He didn't see the spirit coming back. He doesn't have X-ray eyes. Mark, if you go to Mark, he's going to tell you the same story, but he will not mention to you the spirit left and the spirit came back. He's just going to say, Jesus told the girl, get up, and the girl got up. Straightforward. What amazes me, church, is that if you think about a doctor, what is a doctor? He can only say what he can test. He can only say what he can prove. In nowadays, church, a doctor would never make such a statement. If you ask a doctor today, what is death? Most likely he's going to say, your brain stopped, your heart stopped, and your body died. Completely physical. But the doctor Luke, he goes on the opposite route. From a doctor's perspective, what is death? It's not just a physical thing. It is a spiritual one. It is the separation from the spirit to the body. The body dies and decomposes and goes to the graveyard. The body can't live eternally without the spirit. But the spirit comes back to God, the giver of life. That's death. And what is the Christian hope? Pay attention. What is the Christian hope? Is that now the Spirit is with the Lord. And when Jesus returns, the body will be raised. The Spirit will be indwelled. And body, spirit, the whole human, the whole Gustavo will live forever with the Lord. That's the resurrection. As a Christian perspective, church, we avoid the two extremes. Life is just matter. Life is just the body. And we also avoid the other extreme. Kind of like Hinduism, pantheism, that the body is just a shelter. You're here one day, the next day you're in the cow, the next day you're in another body, and you're traveling around. Both of these extremes are denied by the Bible. The Bible is very clear. We are both physical, we are both spiritual. And our hope of resurrection, it is simple. When Jesus comes back, he's going to resurrect our body. And we're going to be with the Lord forever and ever. That's our hope. Amen? Lord Jesus, Thank you so much for your word. And right now we're going to have communion, Lord. And as we think about, we eat the bread, we drink of the juice of the wine. This is your body, this is your blood, which was given to us. We approach it with a spiritual heart, Lord. And as we read your word, Lord, thank you so much. We have faith, but above all, you are the faithful one. Thank you for your assurance. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your salvation. In Christ's name, amen.